Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome back to another episode of the Madhouse Podcast. As always, I am your host, Mad Max. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about WWE Elimination Chamber. WWE done lost their damn mind. They expect a pay-per-view to start in America at 5 a.m. I wasn't even up for that. You know what I mean? So I had to watch the replay. I watched the replay last night, and I'm barely talking about it now. I know it's going to be kind of behind and everything like that, but I gotta say, this was a pretty good pay-per-view. It was kind of interesting choices they had winning it all. I think it was only maybe five matches, including the two Elimination Chamber matches. So we're going to get right into it. The event was held in Perth, Australia. I don't even know where that's at. I know where Australia is at. I've never, you know, other than Sydney and places like that, I don't think I've ever heard of Perth, Australia. But first match was the women's tag team match. It was the Kabuki Warriors, which is Asuka and Kairi Sane, taking on Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. I didn't know Indy Hartwell was from Australia, but that was an okay match. I mean, I think, to be honest, that was probably the only match that they had on the card that wasn't like heavily advertised, but It served its purpose of being, you know, the opening match and everything like that. I wasn't really expecting anything out of this match. It kind of felt like Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae were kind of like thrown together. But, you know, I mean, they put on a serviceable match for the opening part of this match, even though the Kabuki Warriors came away with the win. Not too sure why it was them to do it. I would have had somebody else do it. You know, that's just me, my personal opinion. Because, you know, there was no input from the damage control there. I'm not too sure why, but I know a lot of people are upset that the fact that the damage control stuff is just kind of being thrown to the wayside here because of the whole issue with Bayley and Io Sky. But nonetheless, this was a pretty good match. It proves that, you know, Asuka and Kairi Sane are a great tag team, and you know, hopefully they'll have something planned for them moving forward. But next up was the Women's Elimination Chamber match, in which it was Naomi, Tiffany Stratton, Raquel Rodriguez, Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, and Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch was the one who came away with the win. I gotta say, I was kind of surprised by that. I mean, I know they want to sell tickets for WrestleMania and put on the biggest match possible, so I know a lot of people were starting to grow sour on Liv Morgan. I honestly would have picked her to win. I think Naomi and Tiffany Stratton had some pretty good moments in the match, but I don't think they were, I didn't knew they weren't going to win because they're starting to establish themselves, because Tiffany Stratton just debuted on the main roster at the Royal Rumble. And then Naomi just, same thing with Naomi, she just returned at the Royal Rumble, and she kind of has to reestablish herself in the WWE audience. So I get what they were trying to do. Raquel Rodriguez, as good as she is, and she was a dominant NXT women's champion, I don't think they've used her correctly. I don't know if it's because of her, I know she had that bad skin condition, and to be honest, during her entrance, it looked like it flared up again. I feel bad for her, but I also wish, I hope and pray that, you know, this doesn't derail her career, because she is talented and she can be a worthy adversary for either or of the champions and everything like that. Like, I feel like her rivalry with Rhea Ripley was cut short. I think it was due to that skin condition that she's been diagnosed with and everything like that. But I mean, nonetheless, you know, I just wish, I hope and pray that she kind of bounces back and, you know, is 100%, you know, going forward and everything like that. But yeah, you could totally tell something was wrong. Something was off by the way she looked and everything like that. And if you follow her on social media, you know that, you know, she's been struggling with this for a long time. Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch, I don't think Bianca needed it, because Bianca just did the main event last year, and Becky Lynch has both won the Royal Rumble and main event in WrestleMania. So I'm like, I don't know if either of them women need it. Like, I understand why they did it. You know, everybody to see a main event of this caliber, it have to go this route and everything like that. But I wasn't too sure if they needed it. I know a lot of people are starting to grow sour on Becky, on not on Becky Lynch, but on Liv Morgan, because when she was, locking up with Tiffany Stratton, I was like, yeah, they're giving her a cold reception, like almost as if she's the bad guy. But it doesn't really matter to me because I like her as a heel or a babyface. It doesn't really matter. I think Becky Lynch winning it kind of solidified the fact that, because Becky had never really won this match, or because I don't remember the last time she was in it. I know Liv Morgan was in it last year, and she kind of had some cool moments and everything like that while they were building her up. But I think, I just don't want I just I don't want anybody to kind of look past her, because she really did not get a chance to have a run with the women's championship. Like, she deserves the same run that Ronda Rousey had, but I don't think WWE's pushing her that way. So, who knows? Becky Lynch winning the match, I think that's just kind of adding on. It's padding her resume. That's all it's really doing. I don't want to say she didn't need it, but I don't want to also say that, it wasn't something that she definitely, like, she was clamoring for or anything like that. So, it is what it is. I'm definitely looking forward to the main event of her of well, I don't want to say the main event because I don't know if she's going to be the main event, but I'm looking forward to her match for the women's world title at WrestleMania. So that should be interesting to see. Next up, we had the Undisputed Tag Team matchup between there was the Judgment Day, Damian Priest, and it was Damian Priest and Finn Balor against Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, which those guys are actually pretty good as a tag team. It was reminiscent of their back in NXT days and everything like that. So it was kind of cool to see those guys kind of come back together, and they did put on one hell of a show. The New Catch Republic is what they're called, and they said it paid. I think Michael Cole had said it paid homage to, the faction they grew up with and everything like that. So those guys put on a damn good match. And the fact that Dominic Mysterio got booed all the way through the match until he got thrown out was entertaining as hell. And the fact that during the live event, the screen blacks out because the people in the front row were flipping off Dominic Mysterio. And I thought that was hilarious, the fact that he's got that much heat that he's gonna end up doing stuff like that. It's incredible. I'm not too sure how long Priest and Balor need the championship, because I don't know whether or not they're going to be able to keep it for much longer and things like that. But in my opinion, I always thought somebody else deserved to be the champions and things like that. But now that we've gotten this separate brand stuff and like an actual brand split, I don't understand why Raw can't have a tag team division and SmackDown can't have a tag team division. But I don't know. Moving forward, we'll see what happens, and things like that. This was a pretty good match, I gotta say. It was really impressive the way that, Priest and Balor kind of coexisted in this match for once. And it kind of goes to show you that these guys will do anything to win and stuff like that. These guys are good. They are good, and they're putting up a great run, the second run, as the tag team champions. So the next up is the men's Elimination Chamber match. Bobby Lashley, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre, LA Knight, and Logan Paul, of all people, had this matchup. This was pretty intense. This was pretty good because I was not expecting Drew McIntyre to kind of come away with the win and everything like that. But this, I think all this match kind of did was just leave the door open for possibilities going into WrestleMania. Like Logan Paul costing Randy Orton his spot, that's just their ways of saying that, may this could possibly be the next matchup for Logan Paul and everything like that. The same thing with AJ Styles. AJ Styles flew all the way to Perth, Australia, just to cost LA Knight his shot at the World Heavyweight title in the Elimination Chamber, which I don't, like I said, I don't know if I like AJ Styles as a heel, but the fact that he's been getting under the skin of LA Knight this entire time is kind of frustrating because I wish he would kind of focus on, you know, what is possible next. I mean, I know it's going to be hard for him to kind of bounce back and everything like that with all this stuff going on. Never got a proper matchup with Roman Reigns and everything like that. But I mean, I at this point, you know, they got to make him do something. But I don't know. I really think they need to be pushing LA Knight for a championship. Like, I would have had LA Knight pin Logan Paul, and then Logan Paul cost him his match. The same way, like, what they did with Randy Orton. Now, if they're going to go with Randy Orton and Logan Paul going into WrestleMania, that'd be interesting to see, because think about it like this. Randy Orton has won every single championship in the WWE. He's won the heavyweight title. He's won the world title. He's won the WWE title. He's won the Intercontinental title. He's a multiple-time tag team champion, you know, and everything like that. But you know what title he has never held? The U.S. title. Logan Paul holds the U.S. title and everything like that. It's like, so I could see them clamoring for, you know, Randy to be the next United States champion. He's won Money in the Bank. He's won the Royal Rumble twice. You know, it's like I could see them doing something really special with Randy Orton and everything like that, just to kind of pad his already amazing Hall of Fame resume and everything like that. So, you know, who knows where they're going to go from here with that. AJ Styles and LA Knight looks to be a marquee match for WrestleMania and everything like that. But, I mean, at this point, who knows? Because I really don't know where they're going to go from here with this kind of stuff. Drew McIntyre comes away with a win. Now, that being said, Drew McIntyre winning the match, he fucking better walk away WrestleMania World Heavyweight Champion. Because this whole hoorah with hoopla about him not really having a moment and not really doing stuff that benefits him and everything like that, all that can be put to rest. I mean, it would be nice to have him go up against, like, CM Punk and everything like that. That would have been cool. But, you know, moving forward, I'm not sure what they're going to do with this guy. You know, hopefully he'll be the one to dethrone Seth Rollins. But, you know, we'll see. You know, they did have their feud earlier on during the summer and everything like that. But, and I honestly felt that feud was kind of cut short, to say the least, and everything like that. But, I mean, who knows? It does kind of set up, you know, Rollins versus McIntyre one more time. This time it's going to be in front of the world, a bigger audience, WrestleMania and things like that. But I'm looking forward to it. It looks exciting. You know, I'm all for it and everything like that. But, you know, it could have been anybody else clamoring for a world championship match. I'm not saying, you know, certain guys didn't deserve it and everything like that. I don't know about Kevin Owens or Bobby Lashley. Like, those guys definitely are long overdue for a world championship run at this point. But in my opinion, it should have been maybe Kevin Owens, maybe Bobby Lashley. You know, Randy Orton, I'm not too sure, because, you know, you could also reestablish himself as, you know, something different. He hadn't been back in the WWE very long. And it does look like he is still kind of nursing an injury and everything like that. But, I mean, who knows? I mean, it was an entertaining match. It was cool nonetheless and everything like that. But, you know, hopefully we can just put this, you know, nonsense to rest with Drew McIntyre. I think he could make a good world champion while Seth Rollins does kind of deal with an injury that he's been, you know, nagging for a while now. Supposedly, he had the segment with Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes had the segment on the Grayson Waller effect with Austin Theory and everything like that. But hopefully that, you know, doesn't really amount to anything, because a lot of times, you know, when stuff like that happens, it doesn't really go anywhere and things like that. Supposedly, because in that moment, in that interview, in that segment, Seth Rollins says he was cleared to compete. And I'm like, well, okay, you're cleared to compete, but are you really, though? I mean, first he was dealing with a back injury. Then he's dealing with a knee injury. I'm like, dude, you might want to take some time off, you know. You know, let's see what the deal is, and, you know, let somebody else have a championship run. You know, that, like, there needs to be a world champion in the building. You know, we can't always rely on guys like Roman Reigns and The Rock to kind of, you know, run the show and then only show up when it benefits them and everything like that. But, you know, at this point, it's like, you know, who's left? Like, who all is going to be under this new regime and everything like that? Who's all going to be the ones to kind of to do all this and everything like that? But my opinion, it could work out greatly for other guys. It could work out greatly for guys who need a run, like Drew McIntyre, like those other, you know, like the aforementioned guys that we've been talking about. But at the same time, you know, you don't want them to go down the Roman Reigns route and just be like, okay, I'm only going to be here for a certain amount of shows and everything like that. If Seth Rollins is legit hurt, you know, have him, you know, rehab his injury, get better, get it fixed, and come back, you know, stronger, healthier, and better than ever. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with, you know, having guys miss the stuff like that. Now, it's unfortunate when guys make their triumphant return and then get hurt almost immediately, like CM Punk and everything like that. But at the same time, it's like you can't really control that. You know, we don't have control about when an injury can occur or something like that, because it's an injury. You know, they happen all the time. It's a hard-hitting business and things like that. So, you know, it's only a matter of time before stuff like that happens. But, you know, while those guys are hurt, it would be a good idea to kind of not necessarily restock the shelves, but have something waiting in the wings, because at the end of the day, you know, it's not really going to matter who's here and who's not here and who's going to be healthy and this and whatever. But at the end of the day, you want what's best for your audience. And to be honest, what's best for the audience is to make sure there's a champion and a challenger ready, you know, and willing to, you know, do all this kind of stuff and things like that. So, that being said, the main event of Elimination Chamber was Rhea Ripley defending the Women's World Championship against Nia Jax, which, in my opinion, that was a cool idea to have them go on last. Obviously, because, you know, I've always noticed, like, they went the Sami Zayn route. Like, they went the route of, you know, let's give the hometown hero the standing ovation and everything like that. Let's give the hometown hero their due diligence and, you know, kind of give them something to do and everything like that. Because last year, I think it was last year that when they did the, when we did Elimination Chamber, that when we did Elimination Chamber, it was the welcome home for Sami Zayn and everything like that. So Rhea Ripley getting her moment, which she rightfully deserves, and everything like that. For her to have a championship match of this caliber in her hometown is really cool. Her home country or whatever, and things like that. That's cool. That, you know, that definitely benefits her in the long run. You know, and it's like I said, another way for her to pad her incredible run as the champion. And I think Corey Graves had made the comment, this is probably the best performance we've seen from both Nia Jax and Rhea Ripley. And I got to agree with him, because Rhea Ripley's had a good run as the women's world champion and everything like that. But she never really had a standout matchup, in my opinion. Like, she never was the one to kind of build, like, her resume was already great, you know, after WrestleMania. Like, she's already set as an established star, but she never really had those marquee matches where, you know, you kind of let it all loose and you let it all hang out, and, you know, you were going to get behind her no matter what and all this other stuff. But, you know, she was never the one that was just going to be kind of the one to kind of just have it all and everything like that, and this and whatever and things like that. But at the end of the day, it's like, for her to go up against Nia Jax was interesting, because one, I don't think anybody else could overpower Rhea Ripley the way she does. Because if you look at from WrestleMania to now, the championship matches that she's had have been far and in between, and it's been so much that they gave Zelina Vega a hometown advantage. They gave, who else did she fight? You know, she didn't fight at Survivor Series. I don't think she fought at SummerSlam. I don't think she fought at any of the other pay-per-views. I think she fought at Crown Jewel. Although she did fight at SummerSlam, because she fought Raquel Rodriguez. That match should have been like a tear-through of their NXT days and everything like that, but it didn't really go the way it should have. The Nia Jax thing was kind of cool. I just don't think that it should have been in this capacity, so to speak. Like, I would have had Nia Jax in the chamber and then have her go up against her at WrestleMania. You know, if this is going to be something big for her, then a big opponent for her deserves a bigger stage and everything like that. And even though, yeah, Rhea Ripley won, she was able to win the match in front of her hometown, which is always great. You know, then it was Sammy, Sammy didn't win, but they always have those moments like that when they go overseas and everything like that, where everybody's going to have their moment. And this was definitely the moment for Rhea Ripley. And because of Rhea Ripley's win over Nia Jax, it's going to be Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch for the Women's World Championship at WrestleMania. That sounds cool and everything like that, but we'll see what happens in the how they build it up, how they're going to lead up to it. This was a good pay-per-view. I really do think. I think the best match, in my opinion, was probably Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax, because you got to see them explore their offense a little bit more. Because you got to see Rhea Ripley, we see her as the powerhouse. So for her to kind of elevate her game and start doing some aerial assault on Nia Jax, that was kind of cool to see that. And then for Nia Jax to kind of do the same thing and incorporate more of submissions and everything like that into Rhea Ripley, that was kind of cool as well. And that was a damn good match. So this pay-per-view is this is the last premium live event as we get ready for WrestleMania. WrestleMania is like in what, 6 weeks from now. So definitely gonna look forward to that, and it's looking to be pretty good. We got Reigns and Rhodes, we got McIntyre and Rollins, we got Bayley and Io Sky, and then we got Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. It's starting to look pretty good going into WrestleMania. So this was the last stop, and WrestleMania thus far is looking pretty good. So we'll see what happens in the coming weeks. That's going to go ahead and do it for today's episode. If you like the episode, be sure to follow the podcast on all podcast outlets, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Google Play, Odyssey, Reddit, wherever you're getting your podcast from. Be sure to follow the podcast on all social media outlets, Instagram and X, the Madhouse 21. Be on the lookout for more episodes as they come out. We do got some stuff coming out this week. Like I said, this episode is a day late because, I had some stuff going on yesterday. And of course, WWE decided to air it at 5 in the morning. So be on the lookout for more episodes as they come out. We're going to finish the Equalizer series. I got the Argyle episode coming out. And we got a bunch of stuff coming out this week that I'm looking forward to. So be on the lookout for anything and everything that comes out of this podcast. And of course, as always, be sure to embrace your inner madness.